Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, a couple quick Timberwolves notes, D'Lo related, Rudy Gobert related, Knicks and Cat. We'll do all that here off the top. There's been a little bit of chatter in all those areas this week. Plus, a look again at the cap situation with a few more specifics. Are there some top unrestricted free agents available that the Wolves could potentially get involved in? What would the money need to look like if the Wolves really are a player in free agency this year at all? We're going to break it all down on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to us by Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy weekend. And a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every single day. This show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch the show on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app. That's on both Amazon Fire TV and Roku. More great local sports coverage 24/7, and it's free. Download the Locked On Sports Minnesota app today. Again, Amazon Fire TV and Roku. You can also follow this show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at B Beacon, and that's with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. All right, a smattering of topics here today. I do want to get to some cap stuff. We talked generally about the Wolves' priorities this offseason a couple of weeks ago. It's been kind of a consistent underlying thread over the last couple of weeks, of course. So we did one show that was more specifically about priorities. I want to get a little more into the weeds on the numbers, and I promise I'll make it as less me just reading off of the SpotRack website and explaining the cap situation. I'll make it as interesting as possible and try and lay this out very simply and hey, here's a couple different paths for the Wolves. So we'll do that in a little bit. I want to hit a few kind of surface level type Timberwolves stories because they're in the news. It's what's in the news for the Wolves right now. I think the most interesting thing is the D'Angelo Russell report that's out there from Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports. Saying that D'Angelo Russell was looking for a 4-year, $100 million-plus deal from the Wolves in extension negotiations. We know that the Timberwolves were, talking a little bit with D'Lo about a possible extension, mostly because the Wolves needed to be able to have a temperature on, hey, if we don't trade D'Lo, what's he looking for in the offseason? Can we bring him back? Because remember, the way his contract and the cap works is the Wolves would have just simply gotten his, $28 million or whatever it was, contract slot. They wouldn't have just automatically gotten that in expiring cap space, which is one of the reasons why it made sense for the Wolves to trade D'Angelo Russell. But it was also the Wolves needed a point guard, so it's worth seeing what he wants to be paid next year. And so they obviously explored that. The reports were kind of during the season that they had engaged with D'Lo, but the two sides were not close. And now we know why. D'Angelo Russell and his agent were seeking $26 million a year. And by the way, Mike Conley this year, roughly on average of $25 million a year. Conley this year only has $14.3 million guaranteed, but if he's on the roster past, I forget what date in June, then Conley does make $24.3 million. The difference, though, is, first of all, Conley's a better fit for this roster than D'Angelo Russell, but also then you're only committing this next year to Mike Conley, and if the team, something crazy, God forbid one of the stars gets hurt, something goes wrong, whatever, you could trade Conley at the deadline. Also, more importantly, you're only committing one more year to a 36-year-old versus D'Lo. If you're committing 4 years at that many dollars, he's now in his prime, are you able to trade D'Lo with $75 million left on his deal a year from now? Probably not, at least not for what you'd want. So Conley makes more sense. It's one of the reasons the Conley deal was made. We knew that at the time. The decision for D'Lo was going to be, pay him in free agency or let him walk and you get nothing in return. You don't even get that salary slot necessarily. So this plays into the calculus, and now we know what he was seeking. And it makes a lot of sense that the Wolves said, we're not going to give you $100 million because we're already paying a kajillion dollars to Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. We're going to owe a kajillion dollars to Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels, which is, of course, a scientific way of saying the max. McDaniels probably won't get the max, but you're I mean, he really can't because you're already paying Rudy and Kat, right? Unless Kat is traded. I mean, that's, but then of course, if Kat's traded, you're taking back salary, which is part of the conversation we'll get to later in the show here today. All that to say, D'Lo wanted $100 million and the Wolves were never going to give him $100 million. I mean, like you look at guys that were making $25 million a year this year. Well, I guess D'Lo is one of them, but you know, I mean, like there's other max guys on the market this offseason from James Harden to, I mean, Kyrie's probably not going to get the max, but like guys like him and Chris Middleton and like, well, a couple of those guys have player options, but very well could hit. I would imagine like Middleton becomes a free agent this offseason, right? Like, I mean, guys that are kind of right in the prime of their career that are looking for that last massive extension. And yeah, it's an intriguing free agent class, but D'Lo now finds himself kind of in that murky middle of it. And the Wolves were never going to do $25 million a year for D'Lo. Like if his number was $15 million a year, sure. I mean, you explore that. Now, I've talked a lot about how his fit with this roster wasn't great. I still think D'Lo can be a plus player. I think in general he was for the Lakers. Of course, he struggled in the playoffs. We talked about that earlier this week. I think he's an above average point guard. The problem is he was being paid like an all-star, like a superstar, a max contract. He absolutely was not worth that contract. He's not worth $25 million a year. Now at $15 million a year, you could talk yourself into making the fit work, him helping you, you know, be your backup primary scorer on a rainy day. If Ant is hurt or out or in foul trouble or whatever, if Kat is hurt or out or in foul trouble, like now, of course the Wolves had that situation for much of this year and Towns was out, obviously Ant was healthy, but D'Lo didn't step up in the way they needed him to. And I think that had to have been part of the calculus of like, hey, D'Lo ain't it moving forward. Let's move on. So all that to say, $100 million over 4 years, reportedly from Jake Fisher of Yahoo, is what D'Lo wanted. And I don't know that he's going to get that in free agency. As I always say, I feel like this is the third show out of the five this week I've said this. All it takes is one. All it takes is one team to be like, hey, we saw what D'Angelo Russell could do this year, you know, early on with the Lakers. We think he can change our... I don't know who it is. It's very likely one of the teams in the mediocre murky middle that says, oh, we can add a former all-star. We can sell this to our fans. And, you know, he can still score 20 a game. Sure, that's fine. But there's also issues with the D'Angelo Russell experience, if you will. So I think somebody will pay him close to that. I'd be surprised if it was a full $100 million over 4 years. I think it'll be a little bit less. I think annually he might get close to 20. I don't think he'll get 25. So that'll be an interesting saga to follow this offseason. The next thing is Carl Anthony Towns. Nothing really news-wise other than there was a podcast discussion by a handful of New York reporters, like three of them. Michael Scotto from Hoopside, who I guess isn't technically a New York reporter, but Ian Begley of SNY and Stefan Bondi of New York Daily News did a podcast and talked a lot about the Knicks, of course, and one of the topics was Carl Anthony Towns and also Joel Embiid as potential trade targets, and basically getting into the, like, hey, Towns and Tibbs, there was this rumor that, of course, Tom Thibodeau, now the head coach of the Knicks, formerly the Wolves head coach, that they could get past their differences and work together, and now one of them said they're not sure that that they'd want to do that anymore. I forget who it was that made that comment over the course of the conference. I think it was Bondi that said that he had heard a couple of years ago that Tibbs would have no problem coaching Kat and that things may have changed at this point. He's not really sure. That makes sense. I never really got the sense there was true Towns-Tibbs disconnect. They were just different personalities, but it never really seemed like that is where the issues were, right? It was more Jimmy Butler being upset with the Wiggins contract situation and maybe wishing Kat was a bit more of an alpha, but like it never really felt like a Tibbs Kat thing. It was more just Tibbs being Tibbs and Kat being Kat. You know, Kat's a little more happy go lucky and occasionally emotional, and Tibbs is always emotional, but in the same way. It just kind of felt like two personalities that didn't jive, but it doesn't mean they can't work together. So I don't think that would be a reason for the Knicks to not trade for Carl Anthony Towns. There's other reasons why you wouldn't. There's other reasons why the Wolves wouldn't. That was really the only Kat thing that they covered extensively. And to me, that's, I don't want to say it's a non-story. I mean, those guys are closer to Tibbs in the situation than I am, but I don't know. I'd be surprised if that was reason for the Wolves to not make that deal. The last thing, Rudy Gobert, this is just more interesting, apparently did a darkness retreat, Aaron Rodgers style. He went and locked himself in a room, I guess underground or whatever, for a couple of days and is still focused on having the best offseason of his career, coming back, having the best season of his career next year. I mean, like, we can make tons of jokes about the best shape of his life and like all those jokes that happen every year for every sport in training camp or spring training. I think that could be applicable here, but it does show like it's different than last offseason, right? Rudy Gobert last offseason spent his time playing Eurobasket, which is a very different type of offseason. And now instead of just being in basketball shape all offseason, he can take care of his body in different ways, do different things to, you know, prepare. We talked about Anthony Edwards saying he's going to go to France and meet with Rudy. So like, it's good to see the effort. Of course, Rudy's got 3 more years left on a monster deal. The Wolves need him to be as committed as it sounds like he is. So good on Rudy. I don't know if the darkness retreat thing works. We don't know yet if it worked for Aaron Rodgers. We'll see. But anyway, that's out there as well. All right. I want to talk a little cap here the rest of the show here today. That's what we'll start doing here next. Today's episode of Locked Out Wolves is brought to us by our friends at Game Time. I am notorious for waiting to the last minute to purchase tickets, whether that is a sporting event or a concert or a comedy show or theater even, all things that I enjoy on different levels and at different occasions and in different forms, but I have a bad habit of waiting to the last minute to buy tickets. And if that's you, then Game Time is the place for you. Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. You don't have to with Game Time. They have deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. You can get exclusive flash deals as well on tickets for really any sport, plus concerts, comedy, theater, and more. The Game Time guarantee means that you will always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag your tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. A big thank you once again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, every day as we're back next week, Monday through Friday. We're still daily for the next couple of months. And like I've been saying, we're going to transition to some more draft conversation. I know the Wolves only have the second round pick, but like, hey, Tim Connelly's got a track record. We'll go back through that. It's been about a year since we've done that. Just over a year since Connelly was hired. We can go back through what he did in the second round in Denver. He had a lot of success. I mean, anybody ever heard of Nikola Jokic? What about Monty Morris, their kind of longtime backup, eventually starting point guard when they were really good the last few years? Like, there's several guys he picked in the second round that turned out to be really good players. And I want to go back through that, and then we'll look at this year's prospects around that part of the draft. So that's upcoming here very, very soon in the coming weeks. All right. Let's talk a little cap conversation. So we've talked in terms of offseason priorities, and of course, one of the top priorities is figuring out the Naz Reid situation. And the reason being, because Naz is, of course, an unrestricted free agent. He was also a really vital part of this team making the play-in this year because with the cat injury, Naz stepped up big time. He is, as currently constructed, effectively the sixth man, I guess really seventh, I guess, if you want to call Kyle Anderson the sixth man, if this team is fully healthy the way that the roster was built this year, because he was playing the four a little bit. He was playing key backup 5 minutes. Now, when this team is absolutely fully healthy, I don't know how you find the 28 minutes or whatever for Naz, because he hasn't played great at the four. We talked about this, I think it was earlier this week, maybe late last week, in terms of his lineup data. Like, at the four, Naz has not been great. Doesn't mean he can't do it. It was a small sample. But returns from the first, you know, the last couple of years with him next to Towns were not great. This year, returns with him next to Rudy were not consistently great. So if you re-sign Naz, you have to be really convinced that that's his role, right? He's not only our third big, but he's effectively our sixth man. We're going to pay him whatever he wants, and he's our fill-in if Kat or Rudy are in foul trouble or get injured. But he also has to have a role if they're healthy, right? And remember, back in October, there were a couple of DNPCDs. There were some 8-minute, 10-minute, 12-minute games for Naz Reid. Go back and look at that game log. He wasn't a consistent part of the rotation, and then he earned that role. But there was a very small window when everyone was healthy late in the regular season. And I just didn't get a good sense that I know that Chris Finch wants to play big, but how comfortable are we with Naz Reid playing extended minutes at the four? And if you have two max centers and a guy you're paying $15 million in Naz Reid or whatever he ends up getting, you better have a plan for them all to play, and it better work because you've tied up a lot of money in effectively one position. So I like Naz Reid a lot. I did a show earlier this week, Monday or Tuesday, talking about how I didn't think the Wolves would re-sign Nas, or I was leaning towards that direction, in part because of what Howard Beck said a week ago on this show. Howard Beck, the longtime New York Times, LA Daily News, Bleacher Report, Sports Illustrated journalist, saying that he's asked around and he firmly believes Naz Reid will get $15 million a year this offseason. I know that around the trade deadline, the Wolves talked about, the rumor was the Wolves were offering him around 10. He wanted 12 to 14 a year, which, you know, $50 million over 4 years. And I think there's been some speculation lately locally that, like, hey, he might only get $12 million. You might get him for 11. Howard Beck thinks it's $15 million a year. That's a big difference when you look at the Wolves' cap situation. So let's look at that. The Wolves currently are $10 million over the cap based on who they have on the roster. Now, the actual cap number isn't as relevant these days in the NBA because of the tax threshold, because of that window before you're in the luxury tax. So the Wolves really are $10 million over the cap, but they're roughly, what, $18 million, I guess, below $18 million below the luxury tax. They don't want to go into the tax because the expectation is they will next year. The quick explanation there is you have to extend Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels. You have Kat's number going from $36 million this coming season to $50 million in 24-25. You're still paying Rudy Gobert. He'll be at $44 million effectively that year. So, I mean, like, you'll have $94 million caught up in Rudy and Kat, and then you'll have a max kicking in for Ant and Jaden. Like, you're going to be in the tax. You're going to be in the tax in 24-25, and there's that repeater tax as well. So without getting too in the weeds on this, if you are in the luxury tax consecutive years, you have to pay another tax, the repeater tax. So the Wolves have to avoid going into luxury tax this offseason. They really have to. There's no other choice. So you have $18 million to play with, and there's only four real roster spots, right? So unrestricted free agents, Austin Rivers, Jalen Noel, Naz Reid. Restricted free agent, Nickeil Alexander-Walker. So they'll have cap holds in all those guys, which they can renounce those if they need the cap space, etc. Very unlikely Jalen Noel's back. We've talked about that on the show. That's only a couple million bucks. Austin Rivers, give or take, but likely a minimum contract anyways. Nickeil Alexander-Walker, we talked about the other day, and I still believe this. I think it's more likely Alexander Walker's back and the Wolves don't bring back Naz Reid. And I know Tim Connelly has said Naz Reid's a priority this offseason. And maybe this is just me wishing this into existence, speaking it into existence, but I would not pay Naz Reid $15 million a year. When you only got $18 million to play with, Nickeil Alexander-Walker is going to cost more than three. He just is. Remember, Josh Okogie got a minimum last offseason. I think Alexander Walker has more value than Josh Okogie. He's simply a better offensive player. And even if Okogie is slightly better defensively, you can talk yourself into the size that Alexander Walker has and potential upside offensively because he's shown more than Okogie. So, like, I guess he's a little older than Okogie was a year ago. But all that to say, I think Alexander Walker is going to get, I don't know, $5, $6, $7 million. He's not going to get $3 million. If you think Naz is getting 15. Now, if you think Naz only gets 12, that gets you to 6 million, and maybe you can do both. And then the question is, do you want to? I think at 12 million, Naz is a real conversation. And that's how close this all is. Like, that really matters. I know it doesn't sound like a lot when you're talking about $164 million for your cap, but when you're talking luxury tax and repeater tax, you can't really mess around with giving Naz $15 million, I don't think, because then you probably can't keep Alexander Walker. And now you've tied up more money in that one spot. And yeah, Rudy and Kat and Naz are all really fun, very good players. But can you really justify that and then say, yeah, well, we couldn't afford Nickeil Alexander-Walker for six, so we're going to go sign another Austin Rivers off, you know, I guess the scrap heap, as maybe crude as that term is. Like, we're going to go sign a retread veteran or whatever for the vet minimum and plug him into the rotation a la Bryn Forbes, Austin Rivers, you know, which, by the way, not bad signings at vet minimums, but are you going to count on those guys to take into Nickeil Alexander-Walker, likely a rotation spot? And also Jalen Noel, you got to fill in those minutes too. So is that the solution, or are you relying on Wendell Moore Jr. to all of a sudden be a rotation guy? Are you counting on your second round pick this year? Like, these are all really real conversations the Timberwolves have to have against their budget. And if you say, yeah, Naz is worth $15 million over 4 years, which is, by the way, what, $60 million? I mean, now you got to have the conversation about the rest of the roster. So your backup, you know, assuming then you bring back Torian Prince, like, your bench is Torian Prince, Jordan McLaughlin, Kyle Anderson, that's it. Otherwise, you're looking at the rookies from last year, Moore Jr., Minot. You're looking at Nate Knight. If you bring him back, he's got a club option this year for a couple million. So there's a couple of other paths here, and we've talked about this for each individual player, but not, I don't think, collectively in terms of the context of the cap space situation. So I'll do that here next, but those other paths could be with some of these, the guys I just mentioned, the Princes, the Knights, McLaughlin, et cetera. And if they could create some additional room, if they really feel like bringing Naz Reid back is the right move. So we'll do that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is also brought to us by our friends at Bird Dogs. I started wearing Bird Dogs just over a week ago. I could almost mark the day because it was that life-changing to begin wearing Bird Dogs. And it's my evening and weekend attire all the time now because they are versatile. They're comfortable. They make me look great. And the versatility and comfort really are the biggest things because I can hang out at home, I can grill in the backyard, and then I can run to the store. They have pockets and they're comfortable. So it's like more comfortable than wearing mesh basketball shorts, athletic shorts, but more functional because there's real pockets that I could put my wallet and my keys in. And I could, like, you could pass them, you could wear them to play golf, you could wear them to go to, you know, go out to eat with your family, you could wear them in the backyard. You wear them lounging around the house. They're really that comfortable. And they also have pants too. Same idea. Versatility, comfort, the most important things to me when I'm looking at any sort of apparel. Go to birddogs.com. You can grab your own pair of shorts or pants, birddogs.com/lockdownNBA. Enter the promo code LockdownNBA, and they will throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style tumbler with every order. I started drinking out of that same tumbler this week. It is exactly like a Yeti. It absolutely holds heat, and it's heavy duty, looks good. Again, birddogs.com/lockdownNBA. Enter the promo code LockdownNBA. They'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. All right, let's close today by talking a little bit about, or the rest of the cap situation, I should say. So I mentioned the Wolves have $18 million in cap, and that is with the expirings of Jalen Nowell as an unrestricted free agent. Who else? My mind just went blank. Naz Reid is an unrestricted free agent, Austin Rivers. And then Nickeil Alexander-Walker is a restricted free agent. But the Wolves also have an option to not bring back Taurean Prince, which is almost $7.5 million. It's not technically an option. It's his contract becomes guaranteed. I believe it's right after the NBA draft. So they could just say, you know what, we're going to waive him. We're not going to pick up the guaranteed salary. That's $7.5 million right there. That's your biggest move you could make from a contract cap savings perspective. You also have Jordan McLaughlin, same deal there, but his is only $2.3 million. So you could say, you know what, we'll let him walk. Together, that's $10 million. Nate Knight's got an option on just under $2 million, so that would be $12 million if you let him go. So you could make another $12 million in cap space if you are dead set on keeping Naz Reid and you say, well, he's going to play more four. Let's let Prince go. Let's bring back Alexander Walker to take the Prince role. This is a real path, by the way. I could see the Wolves doing this. I would not do it this way, but I could see the Wolves justifying, we're going to play big. Let's play big. Let's let Prince go. I've talked on this show why I'm okay with moving on from Taurean Prince. I think he lost a step defensively. I don't think he, you know, he did not produce on the glass, which if he's going to play, you know, the role he played for the Wolves and an important bench role, he's got a rebound. Like, I think now wouldn't be a bad time to move on from Taurean Prince. He's like, I think his value is right where he's at contract wise. But you could also fill those minutes with somebody that's going to do a little bit more for you and be actually a better defender. So if the Wolves say, look, we're going to play big anyway, we're already in on this. Let's give Naz his 15, 16, whatever it's going to cost. I hope it's not that much, but you never know. Let's let Prince go. Let's re-sign Alexander Walker. Say you get Naz for 14 or 15, you can get Alexander Walker for 5, 6, 7 million. You create the cap space with Taurean to then add somebody else. And Alexander Walker plugs into the Prince role. You let Nowell go. Naz Reid is also in that kind of, Prince didn't play a lot of four this year with Chris Finch at coach, but now Naz is like your backup big. There isn't anybody else. You probably still keep Nate Knight as your fourth big, but you have Rudy, you have Kat, you have Naz, Kyle Anderson. That's the other thing though, is Kyle Anderson primarily plays the four with this team too. Part of that was due to injury, but I mean, now Kyle Anderson's got to play the three if you bring back Naz Reid, which is, by the way, a trickle down domino effect that actually we probably could spend a show talking about, is that Kyle Anderson is just better when he plays the four. Over the course of his career. We did that a little with his player review. But if you bring back Naz, now you're asking Kyle Anderson to play the three. What does that do to your spacing? Not all the time, but he would have to play the three more often. Both Naz, I know Kyle Anderson shot 41% for three, but teams are willing to let him shoot. He's not going to shoot threes well from beyond the break. And then Naz, who's a frankly, an average to below average 3-point shooter. I know it feels like he's better because it's fun when he makes threes and he can shoot for a big, but 33-34%, plug in Kyle Anderson, now your spacing's gone, right? That's one of the things Torian Prince gives you. So I think it's a dangerous game, but if the Wolves are really, truly hell-bent on bringing back Naz Reid, which Tim Connelly's made it sound like they are, letting Prince walk to keep Naz and Alexander Walker, that's a choice that they could make, and I could see them doing it. That's an option. You could also save, again, another $5.5-ish million with McLaughlin and Knight if you want to. That's really only helpful. Like, I mean, there's also the exceptions, by the way. The Wolves have both. They could use the biannual exception, the mid-level exception. I'm not going to get like super into that. But basically, they are in the above the cap number. So they can use the mid-level, which is up to like $12.2 million this year. If they use that, they can't use the biannual. But both are available for the Wolves. So they have a little bit of wiggle room there. But again, what's the point guard situation? What does it look like beyond this year? My play is, if I'm the Wolves, is I say Kyle Anderson is my backup big. I keep Nate Knight. He's my backup like center if I need a third center beyond Rudy and Kat, because I think Nate Knight, I've said this forever on the show, I think Nate Knight can play rotation minutes, fringe rotation minutes at the NBA level. I think he's your break glass in case of emergency center, as Naz was at the start of last year. And I think you, Kyle Anderson is your primary backup four. Jaden McDaniels can play the four. You add somebody else that can on a vet minimum deal or whatever. And we can talk names here later this offseason. There's guys out there. And then you obviously draft somebody in the second round. I think Josh Minot is in the conversation for minutes at the four. We've talked about that on the show. I think that would be a good move. And then you find another point guard. And probably keep Jordan McLaughlin, and he's your third string point guard. But you bring somebody else in to compete. Maybe it's another vet. Maybe it is a second round draft pick. Maybe they trade into the draft. Whatever that is, I think you focus on shoring up the backup guard spots, because Jalen Noel's gone. He struggled last year. Jordan McLaughlin could be gone. He struggled last year. That to me is a bigger deal than like, hey, we really like Naz and we want to keep him. I mean, I just think from a roster balance standpoint. Now, gets back to the cat conversation, right? I we're going to talk less about that today than I had originally intended, but like, unless you're trading cat and then you open up like, hey, we need another big and Naz fits. So like that those are the two, like the macro paths, if I'm going to say that. One is trade cat and bring Naz back. The other is let Naz walk, keep cat, spend some assets. You know, who's Conley's backup and what are you doing when Conley leaves after this season? I think to me, both are legitimate paths the Wolves could take, and you could build a case for both. It all depends. It's not strictly like you can't answer the question. There's more nuance than like you should trade Kat or you shouldn't. It depends. What are the offers? What do you really truly think about Rudy and Kat together moving forward? How badly do you want to recoup first round picks? Like, there's a million questions that these guys have to answer in the front office, and it's impossible to list them all off here. But those are, I don't think it's feasible, and I wouldn't want it's possible. I don't think it's truly feasible, and I don't think the Wolves should keep Kat and bring back Naz Reid if that number is north of $12 million. I just don't think that makes a lot of sense. I do think the Wolves might do that. Just know that I would do something different. So there's a ton here. Actually, like on its face, this offseason to me felt like it could be slow for the Wolves because they really don't have cap space. But the Naz question is fascinating. The Kat chatter is fascinating. And now we talked a little bit about this earlier in the week, that the Portland possibility at three, what is it? I think Houston at four. Some of those teams, like, could they be interested in Kat? There's so much to talk about this offseason. So we're going to keep breaking all that down. This is going to be a ton of fun. There's so many different paths the Wolves could choose to take. Now that we know, by the way, I didn't say this earlier, Tim Connelly is staying with the Wolves. I mean, Washington hired the GM away from the Clippers. So that little Wizards rumor that I covered a bit with Howard Beck last Friday, I mean, Tim Connelly's in Minnesota. He's not going anywhere. So he's going to see this thing through with Rudy, for better or for worse. Or perhaps the pivot is the Karl-Anthony Towns trade that we've talked about. I mean, all that is on the table. We're going to find out what he's going to do here over the next few weeks. All right. That's all we got for you today. We'll be back on Monday, of course, Monday through Friday, again next week. A big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. The show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. Also on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app. On both Roku and Amazon Fire TV, you can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at B Beacon. with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.